Hello, and welcome to the Game Slave Podcast, episode 92. I'm Proteus.
I'm Assimilator.
And I'm Zelda Queen.
And this week we're going to talk about a couple of video games that we have actually been playing.
They're even recent ones.
Yeah, none of that, what was that dragon game? Dragonfire? The Atari?
Oh, yeah.
With the burning.
With the burning. Hey, everybody else burned.
That game's hard. You know, I will still say that any game from the Atari era, I think, is actually harder than any game you can buy now. Most, with the exception of maybe Dragon Soul or whatever the heck it was called.
Dark Souls. Yeah, I was watching my brother play that. I got up to a new area because I'm like, well, what's over there? And I was like, oh, I can go through there. We could shoot the dragon that was guarding the drawbridge, but every time you shot him with an arrow, it only took like 13 health. The bar was barely moving.
I could see that being an issue.
And then we got past, so we could just sneak past the dragon, which we did. And then we found a dark knight who wanted to kill us instead. And it kind of worked out. It was sort of like a little trick. He's at the top of this tower. So we went back down the stairs and he followed us. And we were able to sneak past him back up the stairs. And since it kind of just opens up flat on the surface, my brother was standing behind shooting arrows down at him as he was coming up. Well, if you could just position yourself so he kind of goes back and forth on the stairs. He doesn't come all the way up to get you. And we almost had a... There was one time we got a position, so we had to reposition him again. But my brother ended up backing himself off the edge of the tower and killed himself. So it kind of defeated the strategy, because he was almost... The knight was almost dead until we stepped off the edge of the building.
So then rinse, repeat?
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's like a torture game. Why do you want to play a game that is just so hard, it's frustrating hard, that makes you want to rage quit and never try again?
Some people enjoy subjecting themselves to that sort of horror.
Yeah, I have played games where I've rage quit and never gone back. Looking at you, Lunar, too.
I don't know if I've ever... I've probably rage quit. I just can't think of any games that I rage quit and never went back to.
I haven't finished StarCraft 2 yet.
I didn't rage quit that one, but I have not finished it either.
No, I rage quit. Where you're controlling like all the hero characters, and you have the choice of either the air or underground. I did the underground, and there's like, towards the end of the level, it's just like, also, it's like, okay, lava now.
Well, that's messed up.
Thanks.
Yeah, it's the only game I've ever quit and just never gone back to, because like Final Fantasy Tactics for the PlayStation frustrated me to no end. But it was the right level of frustration that made me say, okay, I'm going to get it right, and what can I do differently this time? And so I was, you know, it pushed me on. This one is just like, it doesn't matter what I do, because whatever level my characters are, you're going to take that level times a base, and the boss is always going to be stronger than me. Always. And then you give me an AI character who can't do jack squat. That's what's frustrating.
I could see that being irritating.
And I had to basically go through the entire dungeon again, because there's only a save point at the beginning.
That's messed up. Yes, my computer likes to make funny noises. Thank you.
We're just talking back to it. It's weird little computer language.
Anywho, well,
it's the language of a whirring, vibrating fan.
Yeah.
Which most computers have.
So, moving on into newer games, let's go ahead and start the game that we haven't talked about much in the past 2 weeks, Zelda.
Yay, Zelda! I had to borrow a copy because mine's still not here. It comes tomorrow. I'm very disappointed in Amazon on this. Usually they ship stuff out so you get it the day it gets released, or the day after at least. Or sometimes in weird cases like me, I got Lord of the Rings the day before it got released.
But at least usually sometime close to said release date.
Yes. This one... It was extra. And I don't know if it's because it was a Sunday release date and the bundle was a limited edition amount, because a lot of places don't have it now and all that sort of fun jazz. But at least it's coming. It should be here tomorrow. At least they claim it's tomorrow. But I played your copy and I played over 17 hours so far. Part of it's me doing main quests. Part of it's me just dinking around and looking around at stuff. I like exploring.
That's a lot of what Zelda's about, though.
Yeah, I like the fact that it's not completely linear. I don't like a game that's like, okay, we're going to take everything, like the Final Fantasy series, the old Final Fantasies, you can kind of explore and look around, because you don't have to do the main quest unless you really want to, and do a lot of side quests, you just kind of explore. Then you get to like 10 and 7 in other games, and they just like put you on this track system, and you're like, okay, you're not allowed to go explore anything. You have to go to these points. And I hate that. It defeats the whole purpose of an adventure game to me, or action-adventure game. Is part of it is just sort of exploring. But I like exploring. I do the same thing in like Metroid games, so I've been enjoying it. The flaws that it has are so small that it's not enough to ruin the game.
Nothing game-breaking.
Nothing game-breaking. I haven't found anything game-breaking. Wiimote, I gotta remember, little quick flicks of the wrist are much, much more effective than flailing because I'm getting frustrated. Why does it hit things? Or setting yourself up. Yeah, yeah, I've learned that. And it's not as... Some people are like, oh, it's all so clunky. I'm like, I wish I could have... I like the fact it doesn't have traditional controls because it makes it slightly more challenging to figure out exactly which way should you swing your sword. You gotta be tricksy on some of these things because otherwise it would just be too easy. If I could do it with a controller and a normal like control stick and button mashing, It wouldn't be the same.
Aiming and stuff wouldn't be as hard, and navigation would be a much easier task, but it wouldn't be as... entertaining, I don't think.
Yeah, it just wouldn't have the same flavor, so...
It's one of the few games where the motion controls actually add, I think, instead of make it more irritating.
Yeah. And it just takes a little bit of time to get used to, because for as much as the Wii was supposed to do a lot of motion stuff, it's one of those things where the games are like, even like with Kinect, it's like, oh, look at all the motion we can do, but then yet we don't make games that... fully utilize the motion, so you don't really get in the habit of using it in that sort of fashion, because there's so few and far in between games that do it, that you're like, what am I doing again? It just takes a little bit of time to get used to.
And it's hard, I think the biggest problem we have with the good motion gaming is so many developers have been trained ABYX, or circle, square, triangle, X, that it's hard for them to get out of that mindset on how to create a new, entirely new control scheme.
Yeah, so it's a little bit frustrating to get used to things. But once you do, it's like, oh, this isn't so bad, and you get a lot better at controlling yourself. And with Wii Motion Plus, at least, things are pretty smooth. The only time I notice things differently is when I'm Z-targeting. I don't know if you've noticed. If I'm not Z-targeting something, there seems to be, like if you were to think of the sword point on a circle radius, you can go to a lot of different points on that circle. But as soon as you do a Z-target, it kind of does like jumps, where it's like, you know, you have like
45 degree
angle, and then something in between, and then like your 90 degree angle or something, but you don't have any, like, there's very few variations in between certain amounts. Like, it has like certain set points it jumps to. And that I found I do better, and I don't Z target things.
I could see that. I actually find when I do a lot of the just, I haven't done any boss battles in the game yet.
Oh, you'll have fun with the first one. I will already warn you now.
I've heard he steals your sword if you flail too much.
Yes.
But I've done, like, you know, the mini-boss battle versus the Stalfos and just regular stuff. When I'm fighting just the regular minions, I forget to Z-target, to be honest.
Yeah, the only time I really Z-target a lot is when I'm fighting a boss, but it's mostly to make sure my camera is looking at it so I don't lose where it's at. Second boss in point, you'll get run over.
Okay.
I'm calling it the third dungeon. I don't know if it technically is a dungeon or not. I'm trying to get to a temple.
Look, signs point to yes. You've had a map.
And there's treasure chest, and I got a secret item, and... Oh, that's one thing I will say. They have done better with items. Like, before, you get an item, and you rarely touch it again once you get it. This one, you do use all of your items quite frequently, a lot, in every dungeon.
Cool. So it actually makes it worthwhile to get that random hammer of smashing?
Well, if there is a hammer of smashing...
I don't know if there is or not.
I don't know either. I just got a gust bellows. It's this jar that eternally has wind come out of it. Very handy for blowing enemies away or blowing away sand to reveal things. And
can you use it in conjunction with your sailcloth to fly up?
No. That would be awkward, to be quite honest, because it's a very large jar. It's a very large jar vase, so it'd be very awkward for Link to hold it in one arm and kind of hold the sailcloth with the other and direct it.
He just needs to sit, if it's a big enough jar, he can just sit cross-legged around it and then holding the sailcloth over it.
Well, it also doesn't work because then it's essentially the jar is trying to push itself.
Mythbusters proven with enough force you can do that. They did an entire episode on that.
What, basically like a big fan on a cart with a sail in front of it?
Basically what they did was they took one of those swamp boats, put a sail on it, flipped the fan around, and pushed the boat against the sail. And they even went they went left, then they went right to prove that it wasn't the actual wind pushing them.
We're thinking way too much into this. But you do also get Digmits. I have gotten Digmits, which you don't have. They're already equipped. If you see a place where you can dig, you just go over there and press A, which is convenient. It doesn't have to do a lot of equipment switching.
Cool.
And just switching between equipment's not so bad. If you hold down the B button, you can then switch to a different item, which you can't do yet because you haven't got far enough probably to get another.
I have the slingshot and I have the beetle.
Okay, so you can switch.
I can switch. Do you eventually get more of those little backpack thingies?
Pouches? Yes. Visit Beetle's shop. Beetle kind of likes to jack the price up on you every time you buy one, but my thing is always buy the wallet. Every time you go, if you have enough money, buy a wallet. I can carry 1,200 rupees, and I'm already at my max again.
Okay.
I am like a rupee collecting fiend.
I'll keep that in mind.
Well, there's some of the enemies that she's gotten to now that, you know, they're just ordinary baddies, basically, but they drop, like, 50-ish?
Yeah, like this one.
Rupees?
This one sentry guy, if you kill him, as long as you're not having him, you know, over a hole, you can get, like, 50 rupees. He drops, like, 2 reds, a couple of blues, and a couple of greens, usually.
Nice.
But a lot of times, he's over a pit area, and you kill him, and the rupees go. This is one thing I don't like about current Zeldas, is how when you kill an enemy, Nersha takes over, and it sends him flying a lot of times, and then it's like, there goes the item down the one hole that is in this area. I will say that's a problem. I do not like we will keep letting the item fling. It should be, if it dies there, the item drops. It doesn't go flinging too, because then I don't get it. I've lost too many slimes down the sides of, like, narrow, like, passageways over nothing. Because when you kill the enemy, it goes flying.
Okay.
Speaking of flying at least in the game isn't so bad once you figure out what you're doing with the Wiimote. Yeah.
Remember to flap.
Remember the flap and just little movement, little wrist movement. I'm trying to go like this, like wings, and it's like, why isn't it working? Because I'm going too wide. I'm flapping too erratically, I guess.
Good to know.
But I'm enjoying it a lot. I'm having a lot of fun. I'm having, you know, there's still a lot of mystery to it because I try to avoid so many spoilers. In fact, there is one thing that they already have, like, practically finished their walkthrough of the game. They're like, for those of you who haven't completed Zelda yet, and I'm like, it hasn't even been out a week yet. But I work and do other things, and some people can just sit down and play for...
Well, the review copies went out like 2 or 3 weeks before the game came out.
So these people could probably be done already in that case. I heard one person who did the bare minimum who was basically just doing strictly quest-related items, completed about 35 hours to 40 hours, while someone who did a little bit more of the side quests but still hasn't done them all did it in about 55 hours.
Okay.
So, that encourages me. I like to look around and kind of goof off sometimes, so sometimes my time is reflective of me just kind of running around a lot.
Not exploring. What's over here?
Yeah.
Because, like up in the sky, there's a lot of little islands everywhere.
And so you can just be kind of sailing along, and you see something, and you're like, oh, what's this? So you go explore.
Cool.
And I was going to say, too, the graphics, I think, work, too, especially for, like, the backgrounds and such. Like, when you're at a distance, things look far away. And they feel, you know, and it feels painterly. I really do see what they were trying to do with the graphics. Because I think, honestly, since the Wii doesn't have the graphics capabilities of the PS3 or the Xbox 360, sometimes your aesthetic has to be different than photorealism because it's just not going to be able to chug it out.
Yeah, I will agree with that. If they tried anything other than fancy art styles on the Wii, it would look horrid.
Yeah, so I like the fact that it kind of is a limitation and they were forced to do something else. Because honestly, a photorealistic Zelda is kind of...
It loses some of the fantasy appeal of the series by doing that, yes. I think.
Yes. Like, we did see an HD demo of Zelda at E3. Which you can find online. It has no sound, but you can find it. I'm sure if you just look at YouTube for E3 demos, Zelda HD, you'll find it. Did you see it? It's with the...
Probably. Was it at the press conference?
No, I don't... Was it at the press conference? I can't remember now.
Well, I know some people have... Like, I think one of the developers of the new Zelda game was able to show it upscaled and what it would look like if it was done in HD.
Okay. Because I know they had it on the showroom floor, and I did watch it there, and it looks pretty. Like, it looks really good, but they still kept, like, the sort of more fantasy, sort of manga, anime, you know, sort of style of things, I'll say, where it's not completely photorealistic, but things are rendered a lot more detailed. But not to the point of, like, faces looking very, you know, superhuman-like, because then you're going to start getting into the Uncanny Valley. And I don't think we want Link to enter into the Uncanny Valley, because that would just be scary.
Yep.
And there's a lot of text to read. If you don't like to read, do not get this game. This game has a lot of text.
Yeah, for some reason Nintendo has something against voice acting. Maybe it's because of how bad the voice acting was in Metroid The Other M. They decided not to do any voice acting in Zelda.
Well, I guess it's a whole thing. It's
one of the things I've never had Link...
Link's,
talk, really.
Link's never talked. It's kind of now one of those tropes of the game is the fact that the character doesn't speak directly.
But you do have responses now in this game.
Yeah, you do have responses this time, but it's like, what voice do you pick to match him? The other characters don't bother me as much as what they would get for Link in particular. But even then, kind of like when we were going to the anime con talking to the voice actors, well, what's it like to, you know, do a game versus an anime, it's like you have 4 times as much script to get through in like half the time. So sometimes some of these people might not be giving their best performance and they have no context of what's going on. They're just here. Given these are your lines, you are given, read. And I guess there's that aspect too. The localization would take longer and you have to, and it could fall flat on its face.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know. I'm probably the only one here who suffered through a lot of the Final Fantasy X voice acting.
I didn't play. I haven't really played an entire Final Fantasy game ever.
It hurts. It is painful to get through certain parts because it's just like, these people even know what's going on at this time, and I think that's kind of the way it's, you know...
Maybe it's in general Square voice acting, because remember me complaining about Deus Ex and how I had a hard time taking some of the characters seriously during these dire events because of the voice acting?
Yeah, maybe Squaresoft just needs to, you know, at least when it gets localized, needs to invest a little bit, or give these people more time, or see, this is the context in which you're acting. You're supposed to be really sad right now, because the character you love just died.
I mean, and we know it can be done well because the voice acting in Arkham City, awesome. The voice acting in Skyrim, it's good. Star Wars The Old Republic, there's a lot of voice acting in that game.
Oh yeah, and they you got in on that beta.
Yep, and the NDAs, so we can talk about that.
Oh, that's good.
And the voice acting actually gives you a sense of how important or what sort of, how you actually should be feeling. In Deus Ex, I had a hard time taking that dude's boss seriously.
Was he, like, sarcastic, or he's, like, trying to be, like, emotional, or serious, or...
He always had this false sense of urgency about him. You know how when people want you to feel like you should be caring about something, but they're not getting it across quite right? It was kind of that feeling all the time.
Hmm. Yeah, so... On one hand, the voice acting would free up a lot, but I'm a very... visual person, and I can retain things better if I read it, not just if I hear it.
I can see that.
So, or if they could have both. I mean, Final Fantasy still has both, even with the voice acting.
Now see, if they just do voice acting, how are they going to color the text to let you know when something's important?
They emphasize the word more.
They stopped doing that with your name. Did you notice that?
My name?
Yeah, in the...
I noticed that they don't put a name and then the text, which drives me batty when they're all, like, talking about this character, and I'm like, who... which character is that? Because nobody has a name followed by their text box.
See, that I didn't notice. The only thing I noticed so far, and provided I haven't played it as much as you have yet, the name that you choose for your character in, like, Ocarina of Time was colored whenever anybody said it, separate from the rest of the text. Now it's the same color as the rest of the text. This is something completely pointless to have noticed that has no bearing effect on the actual game.
Or you can be like, Proteus's brother and name Link, that one guy, and so everybody's like, man, that one guy?
Oh, you're finally awake, that one guy.
Maybe he works with that guy.
Yeah, but all in all, I am enjoying Zelda very much. I haven't had this much fun with a Zelda in a while. The puzzles are interesting. It's not just all light this stick on fire and go light this on fire. There's very little push-pull puzzles right now or go stand on these switches. Once in a while there's a switch, but it's not like every other room. And some of the dungeons don't seem, like, you look them on the map, they don't seem very big, but once you start working through them, they're
the actually... rooms are huge.
The rooms are huge.
And they have, like, you know, several little puzzles, like, or obstacles.
Yeah, so, like, you might navigate. Be able to get into one, but then you have to go this other way, and you get to a new room, but you'll end up backtracking a bit to get back to that first room to get a little bit further. And you can go to another room, but then you have to backtrack again to get back to that room to get a little bit farther. Because of what you've done in other places.
Okay.
So, I've been having a lot of fun. If anybody has been on the fence about it, and you're like, oh, well, it doesn't have voice acting, and it doesn't have, you know, realistic graphics, and I don't know about the motion thing, I'm like, really? You should try it. You should just go out and buy it. Good. I think it's worth it.
Good to hear. Well, we look forward to seeing your full written review once that gets up.
Yeah, once I stop playing.
Since we're already on the fantasy kick, I've continued Skyrim. I'm on my 42nd hour, I think, now. Mostly magic. I think I'm almost done through the Mage's College quests. So it's been fun. I found that initially I was just going, you know, put as many of my points in destruction magic as possible so I could do as much damage. You die real fast if you do that. So I started putting points in alteration magics so I can, you know, absorb more, negate how much magic damage is done to me. And my armor spells, when I'm wearing just cloth and actually have zero armor, they do triple what they normally would. So I have a spell that does 100 to armor. It now does 300 armor. So it helps me live through, you know, like a bear, of all things, a bear surprising me. A bear coming out of nowhere and mauling me.
Well, you are in the woods. You're in the bear's home.
I am. And all of a sudden it's like, and sometimes I'm like, the music changed. What's oh crap, there? The music changed.
Yeah, I've done that with Zelda too. I'm like, okay, the music's different. There's an enemy nearby, but I don't see them. And so you take out your sword and you're looking.
And then, it's always interesting when a dragon shows up, because one time I was in the middle of talking to a guy and a dragon showed up in town. So, and they do exactly how somebody should do. They drop the conversation and pull out their weapon. There's a dragon. I'm going to continue this conversation politely with you until you're done. No, no, it just ends the conversation. Dragon, attack.
Well, I guess that's good. It's a level of, it's one of those things that can break a game. Like, the immersion level. You're talking to the person, also there's a dragon attacking. They're on the roof, they're burning the town, and this person is just casually acting like nothing is amiss. It kind of breaks the immersion.
Oh, you want to sell me that old armor set? Okay.
Apparently, though, I'm the only one smart enough to ever loot the dragons. Because they'll look at it, but nobody will touch it. So I'm like, scales, bones, these make a tidy profit.
Well, maybe everyone's like, dragon will curse me if I go and take anything from it. I mean... I don't know how the people in Skyrim view dragons, other than they're myths.
They were a myth before, and the last time dragons were rumored to have existed, they had tried to enslave all other races.
Wonderful.
So it's a bad thing that they're back. But you're as... if you, for those that don't know, you're the Dragonborn. Every time you kill a dragon, you're able to absorb its soul.
I know that much.
So you can unlock the shouts, which are basically the early dragon languages. So really, when a dragon breathes its fire, it's yelling at you in its language. So when dragons fight, it's a very deadly debate. But that's why, like, if you go up to one of your second or third story quests, if you ever get that far, is to go talk to the Greybeards. And only one of them actually talks to you, because the rest of them could accidentally kill you with a whisper if they weren't careful. So they just don't talk.
Whee!
But yeah, it's a fun game. Irish Pride gave it a 5 out of 5 on the review that's up on the site now.
And that's considering he hasn't really done most of the main quest line. He just keeps doing all the side quests.
Yeah. Well, it's got...
it's like a vast
estimated
world.
300 hours of gameplay. It's very vast. I mean, the Mage's College quest I'm doing, I've done less epic quests as a full game before in other games. So, it's enjoyable. If you like RPGs, get the game. It's fun. It's worth your time.
And we will all recommend buy it through Steam.
Yeah, I think you'll have less load times if you get it on a PC. I sit there, it's like, open a door,
load screen. Oh, you mean on the Xbox?
Xbox, yes, sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought the PC was a little bit faster.
Yeah, PC, you don't see as many load screens from what I've heard. I don't know this firsthand. Yeah. I've heard this from other people, though, that you just, stuff loads faster. You don't spend as much time looking at smoke rising from the bottom of the screen or reading the little informational text for the third time.
Okay, there's one thing I have to point out in Zelda that isn't annoying. You don't have a little fairy that flies around and says, hey, listen, all the time. You get an entity in your sword that says, hey, listen, but not all the time.
Well, she doesn't say, hey, listen. She just goes, wah, wah, wah.
Yeah, she makes a little wah, wah sound.
It's just weird. She sound like a computer AI.
Yeah, she's. I think that's what kind of what it is. She's more like an artificial intelligence in the sword, more than a being, as so to speak. But she talks to you a lot when you're first starting out. But as you progress, she doesn't talk to you quite as much. But you can always talk to her if you need to.
So
which I like the option. I'm like, I'd rather me go to you than you continue to hound me.
That is annoying. Anytime your hearts get low, she gets after you.
Yeah, anytime your hearts get low, you start beeping. Then she starts saying, you should replenish your... I'm like, I know.
It's like, really? Thank you. I didn't know that. I didn't know that when I'm about to die, I should get more health. Thanks. I needed that information.
Yeah.
Next thing you'll need to tell me that when I'm hungry, I should eat something. But, anywho.
Yeah.
I'm going to talk about one more game before we run out of time, and it's because the NDA, as I said earlier, for the Star Wars The Old Republic recently came up, so I can actually talk about my experiences in the beta. I really enjoyed it. I've played a trooper and a Jedi. Both have their own individual feels. Obviously, a Jedi, you're getting into close combat as quick as possible, whereas the trooper, you're obviously standing back and you're using your gun. And your gun has different attack options, and it has a replenishing ammo thing as your expendable commodity. So it's like with the Jedi, I would jump in, two lightsabers, slice, trying to, you know, slice and dice, and basically do my damage that way. Occasionally I would trip them up or use the force to, kind of do a floor sweep. Whereas with the trooper, I would start off with a explosive volley in order to try and knock down the weaker enemies. Then, you know, fire normally, rapid shot, fire normally, and then as they recharge, redo the special abilities. And the trooper has an interesting close combat ability, which is, you know, if you're right next to him, it's actually called, where you hit him with the stock of your gun. Decent amount of damage. It makes sense because in all reality, if you're that close, you're probably going to do the cheap shot while you're waiting for your gun to reload. And then you could, as the Jedi, different stances do different abilities. So for the trooper, different ammo types allow your shots to do different types of things. Like the one specifically that I had before I wanted to go play Skyrim was and adds elemental damage over time to your long-range attacks. And then each class looks like has their different buffs, and the you don't really have water and food that you have to eat to restore your mana or abilities and health. Each class has their own little click this button when you have downtime, and it'll regen your health and the health of your companions.
Oh, that's good.
And then speaking of companions, once you get them, they make professions cake in this game compared to other games. You don't actually have to spend you don't have to actually take downtime to increase a profession. You send your companions on missions in order to do stuff. For example, when I was the Jedi, I had an R2 unit that often I would send on diplomatic missions, since he actually had a bonus to diplomacy. Then he would come back, and they would increase my skills on that profession, and sometimes they would come back with items that could be used in crafting professions. And when you craft stuff, again, the crafting is actually done by your companions.
So you'd be like, here, companion, go do all this. You're my lackey.
Pretty much. It's like, and it costs you money to send him on minions. On missions.
Your minions on missions. Missions for minions.
And something else that's quite convenient, say you have ended up loading up your inventory with a bunch of gray crap that you need to sell. You can send your minion to just sell the gray stuff.
I like that about Torchlight. Loading up my dog with all the stuff that I don't want to keep but I need to sell for money. And say, go sell it for me. Good pup. Or it's my cat, in case. Good kitty. Because I have a cat.
And then the starting quest for each race is different, or each class is different as it may be. Even if you're in the same starting zone, you'll have different quests than somebody of a, like the Jedi Knights and the Jedi Counselors, both in the same starting zone. But they all have their own quests that they do. And sometimes you'll have personalized instances for the more important stuff, so you don't end up having to share it with somebody else your experience. And you don't have them, you know, kind of messing you up.
Yeah.
And the voice acting is done very well in it. In the beta, now keep in mind, this is a beta. This will most likely be fixed. And there's a lot of cinemas in this, so I can see where there's errors. Sometimes I see clipping errors with some of the characters in the cinemas. But again, I expect that to be fixed. It is a beta. It's called a beta for a reason.
You gotta work out those bugs still. And even then, they're gonna be patching it probably continuously for a while, so it's not going to be
perfect
or that detrimental to the game.
No game is released perfect anymore.
No, because when you get it out there to the masses, some people will do stuff to the game that you never thought it could be done.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I didn't think that would happen. We gotta fix that.
Exactly.
But yeah, the game, lots of fun so far. I'm looking forward to the full release, December 20th.
Just shortly before Christmas.
Everyone gets to be Christmas scrubs.
So, yeah. I guess we could talk about the one news story where some lady went insane before we call it a day. If you live in the California area, which is probably about, I don't know, a good chunk of people, and you're at this one specific Walmart, which is less likely, you could have gotten pepper sprayed if you were trying to get an Xbox. Some crazy lady apparently... When people started trying to rush for the Xboxes, because you know how they're such a hot commodity and so rare and hard to get, some lady started pepper spraying people to get them away from the Xboxes. And apparently it happened as people were getting shoved towards the pallets that had the Xboxes on them.
I don't understand the crazy that is Black Friday anymore. I mean, there are some good deals to be had, but... Is it really worth it in the end?
I refuse to get up that blasted early.
I refuse to get up that early. I refuse to stand in a line for that long. I refuse, like, so much of it, I can just sit down on my computer and do it at home.
Exactly. I'll take the Black Friday online deals. I'll take the Cyber Monday deals. Screw going to the store. At least I know some people changed it to opening at midnight instead of 4 a.m. So instead of waking up absurdly early, people just went to sleep absurdly late. Which I think makes a little more sense, at least.
Yeah, but it is. We start getting to the problem of holiday creep. There were some places that they are claiming that they were going to start their sales at like 4 p.m. or 10 p.m. Thursday night. So people are like, Thanksgiving's not even over yet. You're making me want to go out on Thanksgiving Day to go shopping?
Yeah, I don't care for Black Friday, but that was the big, that was the story I wanted to talk about, was the whole getting maced trying to get an Xbox at Walmart. So do you guys have anything else?
No, the only other thing, well, hopefully next time we can report on the ending of Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood, but all of a sudden now there's a long wait on the last disc.
I'm sorry.
So,
what was happening?
So, whoever out there who has Netflix discs who are watching this, watch them fast. Send them back, because we would like to finish. Please. Thank you.
Well, I guess we'll go ahead and call that a day then on that. Go ahead and feel free to visit us at thegameslave.com. You can also, you can from there, you can see our store. You can find our forums, which I don't think anybody's ever actually posted on them. And you can also send us mail to mail@thegameslave.com. Don't forget you can also find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter @thegameslave. In the meantime, have a great week. Game on.
Game on.
Game on.